When I looked at last Sunday's lesson and what we looked through the week regarding the story of Isaac and Rebecca, I didn't think that really I could improve on what you'd already looked at. And it dawned on me, coming up on my fifth year of having been with you guys, I've never actually taken the time, other than in bits and pieces, to share my personal testimony with you. So I thought that's what I'd do this morning. And I want you to start by looking in the third chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Because if there's anywhere that I can maybe start my story, it would be with this passage, as it was a favorite of my mother. Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm going to read through 10, I think, even though there are two verses in particular that my mother always utilized and spoke and shared and kind of was her life verses, I guess you would call them. Beginning at verse 1, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man." And then 5 and 6 were her favorites. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." Those are just some really wonderful instructions. And my mother and father were all about instructing us and teaching us. I had the privilege and the joy of growing up in a Christian home and then a pastor's home as my father went into ministry. And, you know, one of the things that often occur is that, well, I guess you became a pastor because your dad was a pastor. Well, I would tell you that would be the last thing on my mind. And I'll share a little more about that in a while. But I was born in Louisville, Kentucky. Now, I have a legitimacy for being a Louisville fan, folks. And I'm suffering like everybody else through a bad football season. I mean, how bad is it that Clemson embarrassed Louisville by a score of 77-16 yesterday? Don't laugh so hard. So it's legitimate when I say I'm a fan of Louisville. It's interesting, I haven't lived there much. Early years, and my father took his first pastorate in 1960 when I was 7 years old. And it was before that time that in a church in Louisville, Kentucky, I one Sunday was sitting by my father, and my cousin, John Nathan, went forward. And I looked up at my dad and I said, "What is it that Johnny's doing?" And he said, "We'll talk about that later." So when we got home, he talked about it a bit, that Johnny was recognizing that he needed a Savior. So I talked and said, "Well, you know, I sense that need for myself." And so Brother Miller, bless his heart, Brother Roy Miller, came to my house, or our house, there on Brightonstein in Louisville, Kentucky. And there he sat down and shared with me what it means to believe and trust Jesus Christ. And as best a 7-year-old could do, I trusted the Lord. And a couple of weeks later, Johnny and I were baptized together in the pool of that church. In fact, I think he's the only 2 guys. But anyway, so that's where it began for me. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I have not lived a perfect life. You shouldn't be all that shocked. None of us have. Now, I didn't get into a lot of trouble, but I had my fair share along the way. For instance, when I was about 5th grade, it embarrasses me to share this story. You remember how we had spelling words when, you know, for each week? And sometimes you had to take your spelling words and write a little story with those words. Crystal's looking kind of embarrassed right now. Well, thank you for being embarrassed for me. So, we had, this was in the early days of Vietnam. We had seen a few different teachers. And we had one, I can't remember her name. She wasn't a bad lady. But you know what you'll do as students? You'll kind of test them a little bit to see if they've got the moxie for teaching. Well, long story short, I wrote a very unbecoming little account of my teacher and what appeared to be a budding relationship between another teacher. Need I say any more? I met with the Board of Education. You know, the kind that comes up from the backside. I guess it's a little amusing now, but and then it wasn't. And of course, it embarrassed my father. And, you know, I apologized to the teacher and to the class, and as I should have. And that's it. So you learn from your lesson, hopefully. In other words, I didn't do that again. However, my father was pastoring a nice church. This was his 2nd church. And we were getting ready for vacation Bible school. And, you know, I used to love vacation Bible school. I mean, 2 weeks, it was a grand, grand old time. Well, this was about the time they thought that they ought to start cutting back to a week. And I didn't like that too much. So as it was the day and the time of the demonstration, I organized all the kids of the church to carry placards saying, "We want 2 weeks of Bible school." And of course, that didn't go over too well. Of course, I learned a little bit about church ecclesiology during that time, what the people vote to do. That's what they do. Okay. That's probably about the 2 worst things I ever did when I was growing up. You know, I didn't smoke, I didn't chew, I was an athlete. I fell in love with basketball, and I wouldn't do anything to damage my body, you know, in order to play the game. I love the game. And that occupied a lot of my time through junior high school and high school. And it was a sad, sad day when my father decided to change churches right in the middle of my junior year of high school. Well, see, I was a starter on the basketball team. That was tough after announcing that to have to go to the bench until we changed at the first of the year. Now, I got to continue to play, but it wasn't the same as it was then. And I don't hold that against my father in any way. I understood what it meant sometimes for pastors to move on. And it was time. And if the Lord hadn't led us to go to where we went next, well, guess what? I'd have never met June. Now, I don't know where she disappeared to, but she may help out the kids. Yeah, maybe. But that was the time. Now, this I'm going to tell on June. So I'm sitting there in church, and I've got a little stocking cap on, and she sees me from behind, and she happens to ask, and I learned this story after the fact. She happens to ask her mother, well, who is that? I was sitting in the front, and she's in the back. Who is that? And her mother told her, well, I believe that's the potential new pastor's son. And she said, and I quote, well, he needn't speak to me. So guess what? For a long time, I didn't speak to her. But as it turns out, she was what the Lord intended for me, and I don't know that I could have asked for a better mate in doing ministry. And by the way, she was forewarned. Before I asked her to marry me, we went down the road, a little piece to the house, and I indicated my intention, you know, to talk to her father, because that's what her father wanted. And I said, now listen, I don't know that this is going to happen. But you need to know up front that there is always the possibility that I could find myself in ministry. Well, she brushed that off. And so you see where we are, 46 years later. But she has been an excellent partner in ministry. I don't know if I could have done some of what I have done without her help and aid. And I got to tell you, folks, if pastors don't have their wives on board with them, they might as well forget it. They just might as well forget it. So I come to the time of being, well, I matured and I grew in the faith, and I found myself sometimes teaching adult classes, and the Lord just blessed. But I really didn't feel a really strong call to ministry yet, to pastoral ministry in any way. There was one thing that I felt like I could do, and it would be an opportunity to minister in a different capacity. The one dream of my life from at least high school years, was to be a peace officer, to wear the badge and carry the weapon and work in a community. And I don't know how many times I tried to get on with the state police here in Kentucky, and I tried a number of times various departments. And it wasn't until we went to Lima, Ohio, where I was working in Christian broadcasting, that I finally had an opportunity to join a police force, a city department of about 100 policemen, and enjoyed the work, enjoyed the opportunity that it afforded to really get out in the community. But you know what? It wasn't, well, it was everything I thought it would be, and more. I mean, I couldn't begin to tell you the things that happened in my first 6 months on the job. But we were home one time, and when I mean home, I meant Northern Kentucky, where June's parents still live. Dad was pastoring now elsewhere. But one evening, as we were visiting June's parents, the Lord just kept me up. I couldn't sleep very well. I couldn't get to sleep. And I just sensed that God was speaking very strongly. And the next morning was Sunday morning, and we went to church, and I knew without a doubt that God was calling me. And I went before people who knew me, because this was, even though my father had gone on, there were still a lot of people that knew me. And I came forward to share with the pastor there, God has called me to ministry. Now, I don't know what that'll look like, but whatever he wants me to do, I'll do it. So it wasn't long before I realized that the policing, was, even though I enjoyed it, would end. And I resigned the force and cut grass for a while and did some other things. And then we came back to Kentucky to go to Clear Creek. Best time of our lives was at Clear Creek. Didn't have any money, didn't have any, you know, I did get work. Most of you know that I've done broadcasting a couple of times, and so I think the president of the institution put in a good name for me at one of the radio stations over in Middlesboro, and I had a job just like that. Been a week of school starting, and I worked there for the next 3 years and was able to make a living and go to school. And however, my wife was known as the widow of Bear Trail. We lived on Bear Trail, and nobody ever seemed to see me. In fact, the president that followed Dr. Aldridge thought that I was a Smith that had another wife, and that guy had my wife. And I don't know that Leon ever got that correct. But anyway, we graduated, and I took, before I even graduated, before my last year was started, I had my first opportunity to pastor a church. And it's over in, not very far from here, Lincoln County, actually right on the border of Lincoln and Pulaski County, Polly Ann Baptist Church, near Eubank. Everybody knows where Eubank is. And God led us to stay there and enjoy a couple of years of ministry. And I got on the bad side of those deacons once when I called on a woman to pray. I never had a problem with a woman praying. Well, they came and said, we don't think that's the way to go about that. And I said, well, I disagree with you, but I'll honor your wishes. That was done. So had a good ministry there, and then God took us to Wisconsin. We spent some time up there trying to get a church started. It was tough. It was a tough, tough community. And then we came back, and we've had ministry from Wisconsin to Florida. Okay. That's kind of it in a nutshell. I mean, here we are now, 5 years. You all have put up with me. I can hardly believe it sometimes. I feel blessed, I feel honored that you have allowed me this privilege. And I hope that I've been faithful to bring to you the gospel on a regular, continuing basis. And that you have somehow, some way understood my love for the Word of God, because I've encouraged you strongly to read it, to be in it on a daily basis, because you see, that is where life is. That's how we understand how we are to live this life as Christians. If we're not in the book, if we're not reading it and studying it and letting it infiltrate our very being, we are not going to be able to live this life. Because the Holy Spirit's going to open it up to us and show us how it applies each day, how it works through us for us to share. It is the source of life, my friend. The very source of life. Paul in Romans. Now we talk about the Roman road, and we use those verses to talk to people about their need of the Savior. Romans 3, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8, I love that verse. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that just, that's just, and Romans is just full of that truth. I think I misquoted. 6:23 is for the wages of sin is death. And what I was looking and thinking about was 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now somebody should have raised their hand real quick and say, Pastor, your reference is wrong. And you've done that a time or two. I'm hopeful that you would do that. You know, call me on the carpet when you think I'm wrong. Let me know. But it is those that 10th chapter which reminds us of how we come to faith in Christ. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Well, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Paul wants us to understand it's not just a heart issue, but it's a mind issue as well. You know, folks, I think of maybe many times invited Jesus into their heart, but they've not really acknowledged the fact of all the truth that is applicable, that only can be known by the mind. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You know, there is nothing more simple than salvation. Now, it was and is at great cost that it was provided to us. Because God's Son had to go to the cross in order to pay for our sin. But see, we couldn't pay for them ourselves. Nothing we could do, no amount of bargaining, no amount, if we'd earned all the money that there was in the world, that would not have gotten us salvation. No. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified. I love that word, justified. Someone has defined it as this, just as if I had never sinned. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I have done wrong. I've shared a few things that I have. That's not all of them by any means. But we stand before God justified because of what Jesus did on our behalf. For the price that he paid to purchase us back from the penalty of sin, we are justified. And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Verse 13, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Certainly I could talk a lot more about what God has done in our lives. I've found him always faithful. I don't know a time that God has ever let us down in 40 plus years of marriage and 30 plus years of ministry. God has been faithful to carry out his work through my life. Not because of who I am, but because of who he is. The precious, glorious Son of God who provided for our redemption. And all I've been called to do is to share that. It's not always easy. You know, some people don't want to listen. That's their choice. God gave us choice. But it is the most important thing that I think that I could ever do. And even though I've met challenges through ministry, through the years, I have never questioned the fact that God called me. I know that beyond any shadow of a doubt. Let's pray. Father God, this morning as we turn our hearts to you, as our minds are filled with your challenge to us to receive your Son, Lord, my prayer would be this day, if anyone within the sound of my voice has not yet recognized that deep, deep need, the most important decision that they'll ever make, I pray, oh God, this day might be the hour in which Jesus becomes Savior to a lost soul, and all of heaven will rejoice. Thank you, oh God, for loving us so. Thank you for the privilege that is mine to stand before this people on a regular basis and just share what you have to say to us so that we might become all that you want us to be for your glory and your honor. Then we pray, Father, as John concludes the book, even so come, Lord Jesus. We anticipate your return, knowing that in that coming, you will make all things right again. Oh God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.